Then next in category is geopolitical and economic barrier. Trade sanctions and economic embargoes, Russia, Iran, on which world has imposed, trade sanctions and economic embargoes. Trade sanction, even India is now threatened because India has promoted use of Indian currency to facilitate payment of foreign exchange. So now, say for example, United States is contemplating imposing punishment for people promoting alternative currency usage. You see? So trade sanctions and economic embargoes are restrictive measures imposed by countries or international bodies to influence a nation's behavior. Now, see, it is done for that. Do not pursue, say, nuclear program. Behavioral change, attitudinal change is required, expected. If you do not listen, then sanctions come or embargoes come. Often in response to political disagreement or some human right violation or security threat to the world, except under which this kind of impositions are brought in. Political instability and war-related trade sanctions. Political instability and conflicts can lead to disruptions in trade and infrastructure is damaged. So your radio towers or your highways are damaged or airports are damaged. Supply chain will get interrupted and therefore the investor confidence in you will diminish. So political stability really brings turmoil. Look at our neighboring country, Pakistan, Bangladesh, etc. Where can anybody think of going and investing money to do a business? So that's what another one that leads to kind of a restrictive approach. Brexit's impact on European Union and UK trade relation. So Brexit refers to the United Kingdom's withdrawal from the European Union. They formed a very fantastic union called European Union, where all those countries came together to have a uniform way of doing and promoting business, and also one currency. That was the most significant part of it. But when UK decided to withdraw, it led to significant change in relation between EU and UK. So that's also kind of geopolitical and economic barrier. We understand the next one, which is digital trade barriers and e-commerce based restrictions. As global trade is increasingly shifting online, you and me agree, digital way of communication is an order of the day. So at that time, imposing digital trade barriers or e-commerce based restrictions emerging as a significant trade barrier challenges. So you bring in concept like internet censorship or internet restrictiveness, etc., restrictive access, etc. So China's Great Firewall, they do not allow any other country's apps, including e-commerce apps, to be accessible to Chinese citizens. So this kind of a barrier is known as a digital trade barrier. China's Great Wall of Firewall, I have explained. Data localization row and cross-border e-commerce challenge. Data localization row requires companies to store and process data within the border of the country where it is collected. EU has a GDPR, that is General Data Protection Regulations. There also they expect that. India has a Personal Data Protection Bill where we tell them to do it in India. Initially, Microsoft and all were saying that we will not budge, but when we took a firm stand, they all have to give up their this thing, and they started complying with it. Challenges for cross-border e-commerce. You face higher cost vis-à-vis what you probably can do it otherwise. Limited market access. You will not be able to access available market due to this e-commerce restrictions. Delayed transaction completion, transaction execution may take time. As a result, consumer may get not very happy about, so they may not work with you again. So digital trade barriers are evolving rapidly, making it essential for business to adapt to changing regulations. Even the macro level bodies has to form their own thoughts and, you know, have to come clear. But till that time, each country, each union will try to impose their own way of digital trade barriers or e-commerce restrictions. Sustainability and green trade barriers, that's another in a line that one need to understand. It's a global priority. We all know sustainability, environment protection is most needed. And therefore, under the green trade barriers, various kinds of impositions have come in, that is carbon tariff or sustainable supply chain compliance requirement are emerging. That is creating a kind of a barrier influencing the international trade. So carbon tariff and environmental regulation, EBMs, here there is an adjustment mechanism which has been built in, which imposes tax on imported goods based on their carbon footprint. Carbon footprint is a very technical this thing. It is like, if I have to explain in a very simple term, what carbon will it generate? So that's a kind of a footprint. So these tariffs aim to prevent carbon leakage where companies move production to countries with less environmental regulation. So as a result, either they have to move their supply chain or a production facility to a place where rules are not so strictly adhered to. Or when I told you earlier, the carbon tariff tax are imposed if your goods do not comply to the required standard of carbon emission. So this is the way the sustainability and green trade barriers are introduced. European Union CBAM, we have discussed, and EU has introduced carbon border adjustment tax. So that is the United European Union. United States, through such steps, protect domestic industries against cheaper and higher carbon imports. So they kind of, what is coming cheaper is not necessarily a quality product. These are the things that you and me will not realize. So that is that carbon footprint or carbon emission potential higher because it is coming cheaper. So the manufacturing itself has compromised certain thing. So when it is used, the carbon produced is higher. So to prevent it, there is a restrictive tax. So that prevents more such goods entering and thereby damaging the environment in the user country. Supply chain compliances refers to regulation requiring business to ensure environmental and social sustainability throughout their production process. These are auditable standards. Companies must adhere to green standards, ethical sourcing, and responsible waste management and recycling. So there are a set of rules and regulations around this. All this need to be met by companies. So this itself creates a kind of severity being very high, a barrier in itself. The EU's Corporate Sustainability Due Diligence Directive, CSDDD, requires large companies to ensure that their supply chain adheres to environmental and human rights standards. And when I say that, it is not your company alone, it's your back-end vendor. So you have to even go to your vendor and ensure that they comply. So you stand for not only your company, but entire ecosystem that works for you. So that's a huge demand. US Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention prohibits import linked to forced labor, particularly from China's Xinjiang region. So that's where it is known that, you know, they exploit young kids, etc. So this is how companies try to create worldwide sustainability focus. And those who do not comply with it, impose a preventive step so that they are not encouraged. India's Extended Producer Responsibility, EPR, requires companies in sectors like electronic packaging to manage environment impact of their product throughout their life cycle. So it is like till this product is in use, you are responsible. So that's an added responsibility being imposed, as you can see. Foreign exchange control and currency barrier. So how countries control the foreign exchange? Common foreign exchange controls are restricting foreign exchange only to those companies for the import of certain listed items. So you will limit number of companies which can import, restricting currency exchange to government approved exchanger. You will make exchange only through government approved bodies. Or fixed exchange rate. You do not allow exchange volatility to set in. So you will create a fixed exchange rate that will be kind of a imposed, indirectly imposed currency based control. So how are we governed in India? So governed by the Foreign Exchange Regulation Act, okay? So that is, it can restrict foreign investment in India. So what does this Foreign Exchange Regulation Act states? It will restrict foreign investment in India in particular industry. In the rarest of rare case, it is initiated at times to stop national currency from declining. So when national currency comes under the threat, then also foreign exchange regulations are implied. Currency barriers significantly impact international trade. Finally, it's a very potent and powerful factor, because without currency, trade doesn't make sense. Okay, so your transaction cost, you know, gets impacted, your pricing gets impacted, therefore your stability is in question, competitiveness gets impacted. So this is a powerful, potent tool. So common foreign exchange control are giving foreign exchange to importers who enter India through a joint venture. So you insist that, you know, you will be allowed to enter this industry provided you enter into a joint venture with domestic manufacturer and do your export also. So manufacturing plus export commitment is a strong barrier. Banning the use of foreign currency within the country. So for doing your business within the country, you will not use foreign currency. You will transact in Indian rupee. Restricting foreign exchange only to those companies for the import of certain listed goods. So only in case of certain listed goods, use of foreign currency is allowed. Otherwise, pay from the Indian rupee that you have earned. Okay. Restricting currency exchange to the government approved exchanges. So like, you will have to go through RBI or some listed partners, and they will question a lot you on that, etc. So thereby it creates a source of fund. They will try and weight it against the regulations and all. So that's why fixed exchange rates. So we declare that Indian rupee can be exchanged only at this rate. Now depending on the market condition also, it will not change. So that will create a kind of a restriction on companies, you know, interest, and restrictions on the amount of currency that may be imported or exported. So you create a value restrictions, okay, beyond which it is not allowed. So these are the ways the foreign exchange controls are implied. So let's understand restrictions on volatility in a little better. Currency exchange restrictions are government imposed control. Government only can bring, you and me cannot. It is impacting either buying, selling, or transfer of foreign currencies, or utilization of foreign currency, as we have discussed earlier. These restrictions help stabilize local economy, but can also hinder international trade and foreign investment. It will not only have an adverse impact on your international trade, interest in your country for investment will also diminish. So India has one such thing called India's Liberalized Remittance Scheme, LRS, caps the amount an individual can remit abroad. How much you can send abroad is limited to $2,50,000 per year to prevent excessive outflow of foreign exchange. Unstable exchange rate increases the cost of cross-border transaction. So we are on a volatile exchange rate. We have not declared a fixed exchange rate. So this leads to cost of cross-border transaction increases, making it riskier for business to engage in international trade, because you are not able to foresee, will it go in favor of Indian currency or against Indian currency. Countries with heavy currency restrictions often face reduced foreign direct investment. So the country which is resorting to currency-based restrictions will obviously see a very less foreign fund coming in for investor, because investor prefer other open market. Impact of devaluation on trade, that is the example of Turkey and Argentina. Currency devaluation occurs when a country lowers the value of its currency relative to the other, making exports cheaper and import more expensive. Okay, so In the international market, I am today, say like $1 is equal to 75 rupees, but I will declare that I am devaluing. So my offer is, I am now, instead of 75, I am at 65. Now that makes export cheaper, import more expensive, because you have to pay more to get the same value of import undertaken. While this can boost export, because you are offering a cheaper option, you know, kind of, but import will get adversely impact this thing. It will lead to inflation and reducing purchase power. Purchase power will go down. This person who earlier was able to purchase at a particular rate, now for buying the same item, he has to pay more currency. So his purchasing power is adversely impacted. Indian rupee was devalued 3 times in 49, 66 and 91. After that, it has not happened. Today, there is a cryptocurrency and international trade. It is a big vacuum. Okay. Even person like you and a person like me also, very difficult to still figure out how does this entire transaction happen. So, but world is facing, so that there is a, so many countries have imposed restrictions on use of cryptocurrency. So you might have a millions of rupee as a cryptocurrency, but you are not allowed. So no transaction of that nature can take place in country which is applying the cryptocurrency based restrictions. So now we get into hidden trade barriers. This, as we said, cannot be really figured out openly, but they are indirect, bureaucratic and procedural delay. So you ask for documentation proof, you ask for say country of origin, you ask for the vendor's certificate, you create so many demands that making that docket to get your goods cleared itself becomes a nightmare. Okay, so that's what. Or you insist on certain payment to be made, and likewise, culturally induced trade barriers. So there are barriers like local content route. So culturally induced trade barriers are, should comply with Indian, say like a standard of this, or should culturally comply with this nature of product, not having this kind of a raw material, likewise. So that will itself will create a restrictions. Others we have discussed, local content rule, packaging and labeling. So they are not explicit, but they are indirectly impacts ease of doing business. Okay. So with this, of course, we finish this chapter 4 also. Thank you.